Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading today from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20. What's the name of the chapter? Autumn. And we're on text 3 and 4.
Tata pravartata pravrit. Tata pravartata pravrit. Sarva sattva samud bhava. Sarva sattva samud bhava. Vidyotatmana praridir. Vidyotatmana paridhir. Vishpurjita nabastala. Vishpurjita nabastala. Tata pravartata pravrit. Sarva sattva samud bhava. Vidyotatmana paridir. Vishpurjita nabastala.
Sarva sattva samubhava. Vidyutamana paribir. Vishpurjita nabastala. Tata pravartata pravrit. Sarva sattva samubhava. Vidyutamana paribir. Sarva sattva samubhava. Vidyutamana paribir. Word for word, take the little arrow and just point it down, the little arrow and just click it.
Pravrit.
Pravrit.
The rainy season.
The rainy season.
Sarva sattva.
Sarva sattva.
Of all living beings.
Of all living beings.
Samud bhava.
Samud bhava.
The source of generation.
The source of generation.
Vidyotatmana.
Vidyotatmana.
Flashing lightning.
Flashing lightning.
Hold the mic.
Paridhi.
Paridhi.
Its horizon.
Its horizon.
Vishpurjita.
Vishpurjita.
Agitated by thunder.
Agitated by thunder.
Nabhatala.
Nabhatala.
The sky.
The sky.
Translation. Thus the rainy season began, giving life and substance to all living beings. The sky began to rumble with thunder, and the lightning flashed on the horizon. Text number 4. Maybe you could read the Sanskrit for that.
Sandra Nilambudir Vyoma. Savidyut Stanayit Nubhi. Aspasta Jyotir Achanam. Brahmevasa Gunam Babau.
We'll just do the translation then and the purport. The translation is, the sky was then covered by dense blue clouds, accompanied by lightning and thunder. Thus the sky and its natural illumination were covered. In the same way that the spirit soul is covered by the three modes of material nature. Let's all repeat that one together. The sky was then covered by dense blue clouds.
The sky was then covered by dense blue clouds.
Accompanied by lightning and thunder.
Accompanied by lightning and thunder.
Thus the sky and its natural illumination.
Thus the sky and its natural illumination.
Were covered in the same way.
Were covered in the same way.
That the spirit soul is covered.
That the spirit soul is covered
by the three modes of material nature.
By the three modes of material nature.
Everybody awake. Purport. Lightning is compared to the mode of goodness, thunder to the mode of passion, and the clouds to the mode of ignorance. Thus, the cloudy sky on the onset of the rainy season is analogous to the pure soul, pure spirit soul, when he becomes disturbed by the modes of nature. For at that time he is covered, and his original brilliant nature is only dimly reflected through the haze of the material qualities. Om Ajnana. Timurandasya, Jana Jana Salakaya, Chaksum Militanyena, Tasmai Shri, Gurave Namaha, Jayatam Surito Pangor, Mamamanda Materkati, Mat Sarvasa Patambojo, Radha Madana Mohano. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically now in the 10th canto, is giving us a different perspective. All of us living in Florida, probably everywhere, they hear weather forecasts all the time. You know, it's going to be hot today with a chance of shower in the afternoon with some chance of thunderstorms. So, but you don't hear the second part. Thus, that's the coverings of the same way a spirit soul is covered. So we're seeing in the Bhagavatam that everything is explained philosophically. In fact, there's been an it's been made to be very important, emphasis, all right. It's very important for us to see everything philosophically. This is the training that we received. Prabhupada, right from the very beginning, he gives us the Krishna consciousness, but he also explains that one should be philosophically oriented. And what does this do? It gives such precise categories and details for everything. In fact, it's sometimes explained that without a philosophical background, then people are more or less just same as animals. So it is our part of our evolutionary development of consciousness. And one of the points that I thought I would like to make on that is how Prabhupada would stress there's a change of consciousness. That's the only thing that's changing in this Krishna consciousness, is that you're changing your consciousness. The same activities are being done. of course, they're being done slightly different because of consciousness. So in each situation, there's this change of consciousness. Just like here, they're just talking about weather, but yet it's in a 10th canto because of this change of the consciousness that's been taking place all along. And then, of course, sometimes you need exact change, isn't it? Like sometimes when you get on a bus, it says exact change. So when you have to pay your obeisances, you need to have this exact change of consciousness. All right. Hard group. Okay. And to pay your respects. So, oh, thank you. All right. So here's some things that Prabhupada has also said. He's given us also in the 10th canto, chapter 82, which is after arriving in Kurukshetra, and from the Krishna book. Krishna, this Kurukshetra is a very special place. It gradually becomes more and more evident on why it's such a special place. And here specifically is one of the points that is a fundamental, deep-oriented point in our philosophy. Krishna is speaking to the gopis. So this is already 82, so everybody is older now. And Krishna is there from Dwarka. So he's in his royal genalia, is it paraphernalia? So he says, as a supreme truth, I am transcendental to the living entity, as well as to the material embodiment. The two energies, material and spiritual, are both under my control. My dear gopis, I request that instead of being afflicted, you try to understand everything with a philosophical attitude. So here's Krishna talking to his gopis. Then you will understand that you are always with me, and there is no cause of lamentation on our being separated from one another. So this instruction has paramount importance. And also the specific point of this separation of the gopis in Kurukshetra is a wonderful point to consider. It's also the basis of our Rath Yatra festival, which we have so many Rath Yatras, and also for understanding Lord Jagannath himself, who's smiling in ecstatic remembrance of his Vrindavan pastimes. It was explained by one of Prabhupada's godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj, that like in football, let's say you got it down to the one-yard line. Anybody know how to play football or watch football? When it gets to the one-yard line, there's a certain intensity that builds up. But then if that gets moved back to like the 30-yard line, everybody is greatly affected. But if it was on the 30-yard line, it wouldn't have been so much. But because it was at the first and it went back to the 30th, there's a more intensity. So Krishna, he's with the gopis, but they're in Kurukshetra. They're not in Vrindavan. So that intensity at that time is, there isn't any intensity like that intensity. They're together, but they're not together. So it's a very special contemplation to think of. Anyway, more on these points are as Srila Prabhupada points out another time, or some of his, here he's saying, there are still many devotees of the Lord intrigued here in ecstasy searching for Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. It's not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land, but a devotee eagerly searches after Krishna is as good as seeing him personally. Everybody catch that between the stream beans and the other things? I'll read it again. All right. Yeah, it's hard to catch. Whether Krishna Next one. Here it says, All right. Oh, the next sentence is very good. There are still many devotees of the Lord lingering here. That's in Vrindavan, or there, Cork, etc. All these holy places, this temple too. In ecstasy, in search of Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. In it, from the song of the six Goswamis, we say, where are they now? Are they over? It is not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land, but a devotee eagerly searching. This was the part I was going to have to repeat over, so you have to pay attention for a minute. It is not that they meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land, but devotees eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as seeing him personally. How this is so cannot be explained. Oh, well. But it factually is realized by those pure devotees of the Lord. Philosophically, one can understand. All right. So here we got something we can understand philosophically. That the Lord and his remembrances are on the absolute plane. And that very idea of searching for him at Vrindavan in pure Krishna consciousness gives more pleasure to the devotee than seeing him face to face. All right. Such devotees of the Lord see him face to face at every moment. Just in case you thought you got it. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Which verse? There you go, Premanjana, that's text 38, that I worship Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, who the pure devotees see within their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. So, here we are to understand philosophy, so we get the change, the offer. The exact change of consciousness, how to change this consciousness, because everything in life basically is going to say about the same for everyone. The thing that's going to change is your consciousness. So that's the point that the philosophy is supposed to be interacting with, is your consciousness, changing your consciousness of how you see things. And when that does, your character develops. You become a real character. Devotees are real characters. You never know what they're going to say. They're not dependent on the ordinary course of activities. No one can predict. So, in Bhagavad Gita 3.3, anybody know 3.3? How about the purport? We all know the purport of 3.3. Okay. 3.3 verse is, the Supreme Person I have got had said, O sinless Arjuna, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize the self. We know what the self is from chapter 8. That's our eternal nature. That's our real nature. It's not the covered nature with the clouds and the thunder and the lightning. That's the one that's covered. Some of them are inclined to understand it by empiric philosophical speculation, and others by devotional service. So in Srila Prabhupada's purport, the famous line that everyone probably knows is, religion without philosophy is close. The other one? All right.
Sentimentalism.
Oh, all right. Religion without philosophy is sentiment and sometimes fanaticism. Okay, so, for instance, when Prakashananda Saraswati was talking to Lord Chaitanya, he called him a sentimentalist, keeping company with fanatics. What are they doing all day long? They're happy. What about that? How can you be happy? What's there to be happy about? Here you are. You're smelling wonderful flowers every day. Who smells wonderful flowers every day? People coming up to you, here, smell this flower. Who does that? It wouldn't even be accepted. Maybe 67 in San Francisco or something. They wore it in their hair. But hippie hill. But, I mean, where does anybody come up and say, smell this flower? But it's not just a flower. It's been offered to Krishna, so it's safe. You know, it doesn't have the mode of goodness. It's pure goodness. This is, how are you making advancement? Okay, is there something to look at? Yes, the beautiful form of the deities. Has anybody ever seen anything this beautiful? How can there be anything? And the culture. We have beautiful paintings every day. We look at beautiful paintings. You can't afford paintings unless you're rich. You have a couple ones that you pick up at, you know, different places. But they're not beautiful paintings. People that are smiling. I was talking with Damodar Rati yesterday. He got this nice camera. He likes taking pictures. He says, devotees are the best ones to take pictures of because they're always happy and smiling. He says, you can catch them all the time doing these wonderful things. He just came back from that festival in Dallas. He had a nice picture there, Madhumati, smiling. So he's got all these, he says it's on Facebook. He put all these pictures up. He sent me a link. So every day we're getting more and more things. So this happiness that devotee experiences, is this real? Or is this just kind of like, you know, maybe he's a little off, you know, he's crazy or something. If you're smiling in this world, you're usually on something or there's something wrong with you. So how is it that devotees are smiling? Is that real? Because of philosophy, it's real. Lord Chaitanya, he proved that to Prakashananda Saraswati. In fact, it's even authorized that Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. So we're following instructions. And Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda, all the acharyas say, when they see that the whole world is happy, then they're happy. That's the mission of Krishna consciousness, is to make everyone happy. Not artificially happy with some phantasmagoria that will-o'-the-wisp that disappears in a moment's time, but eternally happy. That's our nature. So that happiness, because of philosophy, is real. And we have to learn how to change the consciousness with the philosophy and the devotional service, which is based on the philosophy. Because the second part of that statement, that I only read the first part, religion without philosophy is sentiment and sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. It has no realization. Mental speculation means it doesn't hold reality. It's just a made-up idea. So what the devotees have is being given to them is the internal potency, which is made up of three elements. Sat, so it's eternal, sat, chit, perfect knowledge. And what is knowledge? Krishna starts right off in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, you're speaking learned words, but you're lamenting. And that's that. I'm not worthy. The learned person, he doesn't speak like this. So the very first thing he says, in order to be learned, the first thing is sat. You have to become a sat-do. You got to do the sat. That's eternal. And what do they do? Sat, they act for the benefit of Krishna. The chit potency, they have knowledge. Govinda. And Govinda, he gives you something different than just mental concoctions. He gives, you know what Govinda, what he gives pleasure to? The transcendental senses. You didn't even know you had transcendental senses. We're thinking we're these bodies and sense gratification will make you happy. But there's a mystery secret ingredient that's hidden in all the activities here of devotional service, that Govinda potency, that there's real happiness in this. And because you're moving towards prayojana, pure love for Krishna, there's no loss or diminution. Each day you're increasing, there's a deeper conviction of there isn't anything better to do. And of course, even though there isn't anything better to do, we think, because how is this happening? I have no qualification. I have no understanding. I don't even have a good birth. But yet, I can think now, because of Prabhupada's mercy, that there is a goal, There's a philosophically established goal of life that we're meant to stay with Krishna in the spiritual world in loving exchanges. But to think about that, to learn, just like we had it in the verse, was it three verses ago? Was it the one that Dharmaraj said, the absolute truth, the supreme, almighty Lord is actually a young, blissful cowherd boy named Krishna. And his nature is youthful and his mentality is playful. Who would have ever came up with that? Nobody would have come up with that. And back it up by the strongest philosophy there is, the truth. Param sattva dimahi. So the devotees, their understanding from the first verse of the Bhagavatam, that this whole world is covered by these modes of nature. Even the demigods are under the influence of these modes of nature, under Krishna's arrangement. But by this Bhagavatam, one gets the substance in his consciousness. It changes consciousness from temporary, full of suffering and ignorance, where he can actually, param sattva dhimi, topmost truth, he can stay fixed in, meditating upon, di mahi. He can actually stay fixed in that consciousness in any circumstance. Ahoy tuki apatiyata, what's that one? Savai pumsa paro dharma. I know the first line a little. Ahoy tuki apatiyata atma supersiti. One more line, I should get that one. I got three out of four. So that means there isn't any circumstance that can interrupt Krishna consciousness. All you need is to fill in the holes, because right now it says in the beginning, remembrance is interrupted at intervals. Those interruptions are indications of what you need to work on, what knowledge you need to fill in that space, because it's indicating to you an attachment, a material attachment, which acts in a way to cover the influence of the holy name, of your association with the holy name, because it's an offense. So the full blessings of the holy name which you're chanting can't manifest. So Krishna so expertly, so perfectly arranges that if you're truly interested, it silhouettes that material attachment for you. Now, the reason I use the word silhouette is because you can't see darkness. What are you going to see darkness with? How do you see darkness? If you put a... If you put the sun... So if you put the sun there, where's the darkness? You can't find any darkness with the sun. The darkness runs away as soon as the sun comes. So you'll never be able to see the darkness, especially if you're in it. But if you bring any light to it, then the darkness disappears. So how can you see the darkness? Silhouette. Ah, you know the silhouette? Silhouette gives the shape of what the darkness is. And the example that's given in the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, is on chapter, canto 4, chapter 29, text 69, which says, Krishna consciousness means, starts right off with Krishna consciousness means seeing this cosmic manifestation with the same, seeing it the same way that Krishna does. So they, of course, they have songs where, or the different things where Krishna say, just try to see it my way, right? Try to see it my way. Krishna's explaining it. So he's given it his way of seeing it. So you know how you say, see it my way? Do you know another way of saying seeing? Madamati knows. I told her 2 days ago. What's another way of saying seeing? Of course we said pashyati. But there's another word for philosophy. You know the Sanskrit word for philosophy? Darshan. Yes. Darshan means to see. Tattva darshan. To see the truth. So once the clouds clear and the cataracts are gone, and one can see the truth. So Krishna said, see it my way. He says, but it's not always possible. Yeah, not always possible. So he says, but it becomes possible. Just like Rahu becomes visible in the presence of the full moon. So what does that mean? That means you don't exactly see Rahu, but you see the shape. There's Rahu covering during the eclipse. So, and that Rahu, in this example, the purport Prabhupada so kindly pointed out to us, that means your material desires. He says sometimes you have one material desire that distracts you, and you have another one that distracts you. But sometimes by the grace of Krishna, Guru, mercy, however it's coming, all of your material desires coagulate together. They stick together. And you can see them as one unit, material desires. And that unit of material desires, it's got a shell on it. Shell of the false ego. It has a whole package of the modes of nature, how it's spinning within the modes of nature, and how the false ego's the coagulate, the element that's holding it, the nucleus that's holding it together, and it's spinning in this material existence since time immemorial. So we're going right into that nucleus, and we're seeing it as a whole. And he says, when you see it as a whole, you can deal with it as a whole. So by dealing with it as a whole is your aspiration to become a pure devotee. And then when you desire to become a pure devotee, to render service to Krishna, then it becomes possible to see all your material desires as a one unit and deal with it wholesale. You can't ever get rid of each one of them. They're unlimited. But if you can deal with it a wholesale way, you can do that. So, if the time is up, I got some of the things that I was going to say. We can have some questions or comments, perhaps. Oh, yes, sir. We do have a question from Adi Dev.
Three modes, the illusion that we're under, the anarthas that we experience that are keeping us from Krishna. You're looking at it like this, but mine are like this. So,
is anybody else's different than that?
I don't know. I can't see anybody else's. All I can see is my own.
Well, we get information and everybody's is like that.
So
we're all special.
And we're talking about dealing with it. But where does mercy come in? Because obviously, alone...
Take this book. Have you had one of these lollipops? We're having a Sunday feast this week. Have you read this? So that's more or less how it happened. You know, it starts sometimes as a jnata sukriti. They went to the beach to go swim in the water. Of course, there's probably things in the water that are going to bite them, and it's too hot, and they got sand down their bathing suits. But besides all that, they saw the Rath Yatra festival, and they said, what was that? Did you see how everybody there, young people, old people, everybody looked happy? What is that? A giant chariot down the beach? What is this? And it starts at Tato Brahma Jignas. They're questioning, who is that on that chariot, that smali person? What's he smiling about in the midst of this Krishna's always smiling, even to in front of the grief-stricken Arjuna. He was still smiling. So he was hearing his Vrindavan pastimes, and he went into an ecstatic transformation, and he's the Lord of this universe. Isn't it? How do you say the Lord of the universe? Jagannath. Jagannatha Swami. He's controlling everything. Narayana Patagami Bhava Tume. Please manifest. So that Paramahansa desire, everybody's chanting. They're saying, how is it that I will see that separation? Lord Chaitanya, did Lord Chaitanya have any reaction when he saw Jagannath? Immediately he passed out in ecstatic. So this change of consciousness, we're relating one thing to another, That's how consciousness works. We relate things. So we have this Shastra Chaksus. We're relating one thing to another. So why is Jagannath, he's Krishna, but he was remembering, he wasn't in Vrindavan, he was remembering Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya, he came in that mood of separation, wanting to experience the mood of the devotee, and everything here, even though it turns into nothing, it turns into something called Udipan, which we saw with Lord Chaitanya's situation, that by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Avarujate, there's a change that takes place. We were talking about change. You got some spare change for change of your heart? You need it for the exact change for paying your respects? That, went too far off. That change of consciousness is required. So by this philosophical association, Avarujite, the Srimad Bhagavatam, brings us to that condition. It says it right in the beginning, but everything's encrypted in the Bhagavatam. It's on time delay revelations. By engaging in devotional service, there's an intrigue of how Krishna always keeps you on the edge of your seat, Navayovanam, that it makes it ever fresh. And it's the nutshell verse is number 36, Etava Deva Jignatvam, that long Pushkar. He says that A is long. So it's one who's searching. Do we hear about this searching today? Do you remember what it said about searching? It's what? Do you remember what it said? I think I read it three times. Oh, yes, very good. So this searching, avarujite, that's the result. Etavad means searching. What are you searching it for and up to? Is up to this Krishna. So as that happens, you're going through different ways of thinking, your consciousness is changing, and the language that they use to describe this abstract, in one sense, where it exactly is philosophy, darshan. They're seeing, and then they document it. The nectar of devotion is a documented, subtle map of how your consciousness is going to change from one place to another. So when you learn how to read the map, you can make sure you didn't go off. Someone asked me about destiny the other day, and free will, you know, that question. So what came to my mind at that time is called a GPS. Everybody knows GPSs nowadays. However, they don't just give you directions. If you miss your turn, you know what they do? They immediately recalculate it. So you can still get there. Now you just have to go 5 more miles out of your way, turn around, come back. So instead of the G being global, you change it to God. God positioning, GPS. What is it?
Search.
Oh, okay. That's nice. So it recalculates how you can go back to Godhead, 10-10, from every, 10-10, tesam satatam yuktanam, for each turn you make, each choice, because life is choices at every moment. What are you going to think about? What are you remembering? What's that remembrance trigger in you? Because at our stage, we remember a lot of stuff that's not so good to remember. However, using the philosophy, we use that as a prayer. Oh, Krishna, I one time wanted that. Boy, your material energy can really dupe somebody. I don't want that anymore. I just want to become a devotee. So Maya will say, you sure you don't want it? I got a nice one. And you, so the salesman never stops until they're convinced that you... In fact, I knew one salesman, he said, you have to ask 20 times. You have to go through 20 no's before you get a yes. He said, they always say no, no, no. So he counts them, 5, 6. So he says, I only got another 14 no's, and they'll say yes. And he just keeps going. Huh. So Maya is similarly like that. She doesn't take no for an answer. She'll just say, are you sure? I got it in this other one because I can see you still have some interest in this. I can supply it to you with no interest till next year if you think you can't afford it. Because, you know, in sales, there's a thing called overcoming objections. That's a major part if you want to be successful. If someone says something, you have to know how to overcome it. Well, I can't afford it. Well, I got a special plan that, like with water softeners, they say they're selling you something for $500 and they're selling it to you for $2,000. So you say, I can't afford that. And they say, well, look how much money you're spending on your soap products. Right now you're spending $5 maybe on detergent a month. Is that conservative? So they work out the whole thing and they say, well, right now you're spending $30 a month on cleaning supplies. I'll give you all your cleaning supplies free, and that same $30 you put to buy this water softener and you're actually getting it for free. Plus, it's fixing your plumbing and it's taking care of everything. Everybody says, oh, okay. So they overcome the objection. They sold you something that's 5 to 4 times more expensive than it actually costs because they knew how to present it to you. So Maya, she's presenting something. Actually, you're getting birth, death, disease, and old age. Miseries of your mind and body. Total dissatisfaction of everything in your life. And you bought it. And you're buying it over and over again. How is that possible? Because she knows it's called a con. Con man. The con man is they get your confidence. And con men don't work on honest people. They only work on dishonest people. So a con man will give you something at a really good price, but they never deliver. They just con you into taking your money. So Maya, the original con man, because of your cheating heart, got a cheating heart, that... all you do is get cheated for that cheating propensity. So Krishna philosophically is giving us the philosophy to overcome the mind's attraction to this material energy and pray. Once you hear the philosophy, then you repeat it, then you remember it, then you pray. You just keep praying. So we say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Kabi Bolo Sedi Namo. Taste will increase. Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
I have a question regarding, but it's not like relevant, but I want to know what's
he's the got word. A microphone for you.
There's a word on the verse today. I think in the second verse it's Sandra. Sandra, I want to know, because we never read word by word in the second verse that you read, remember?
Oh, well.
So can you please just tell me what that means, Sandra?
That's
a name for it's a female name in Spanish and also in English, but I want to know what it means in Sanskrit.
Okay, we're on text 4. And
that was in the second verse that you read.
Yeah, we did 3 and 4. Oh, the first word, Sandra.
Sandra, yeah.
Dense.
Dense?
Dense.
Dense.
It's got a long A in the first A. S-A-N-D-R-A. and with a long A. So di Sandra.
Dense, another synonym for dense is like gross.
The sky was
thick.
It was talking about the cloud.
The cloud.
The cloud was densely blue. So it was a dense cloud, and it was blue because it was so filled up with. Generally, the clouds when they turn blue is because they're filled with water. So it was a dense cloud. All glories of Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.